Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Mike and Diana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Diana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for week 5 of Big Brother 22. My name is Mike Bloom, here to bid adieu or bay adieu to Big Brother 22's pre-jury phase. But we are here to welcome in and say hello to a panel to talk about a bunch of stuff, Big Brother and beyond. First, let me welcome in the Thelma to my Louise, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
There could not have been a worse comparison, I feel like, that Julie could have chosen than Thelma and Louise. Like,
well, listen,
yes.
Maybe she just didn't watch the last 5 minutes of the movie and just assumed they lived happily ever after.
Oh, wow. And it's just, what a great inspiration. They drive off into the sunset. Nothing else bad happens. Fantastic.
Well, we are here to have, I was going to say a happy ending, but I did not want to go full bloom in the first 5 minutes of this podcast, but maybe it's appropriate given our guest. I'm so happy to welcome officially, you've heard her on the Survivor B&B before, and of course, on many RHAP Big Brother podcasts, but this is her B&B debut. Jenny Autumn, welcome. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you guys so much for having me. I don't know if you guys are the Thelma and Louise. If you guys are the Bailey and Davon, I really hope that I'm not the awkward Julie pretending that I'm friends with you, being like, am I right, ladies? And you guys just not responding.
We can't hear you. We don't know what you're saying.
Sorry. So hopefully that's not going to be the theme of this episode. BB22 has been a rough ride, much like 2020 has been. But you two are two of my favorite podcasters and two of my favorite people. So I would never say I would never say no to coming on and talking to you guys, even if it's not always been the happiest circumstances so far. A little B&B getaway from a bit of the negativity, I think, is what we all need right now. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Aw, yeah, of course. Of course, Jenny, we're more than welcome to welcome you to your B&B.
We're more than welcome to welcome to Illyria.
Is that like a Julie sign up?
I'm pretty sure Julie was
welcome, welcome, kindness, welcome to kindness. Before we get into Big Brother 22, Jenny, since it's your first time on a Big Brother B&B, I don't think we've heard your Big Brother origin story. If we do, I apologize.
I don't think we have, actually. I am a day one ride or die. I watched Big Brother from even season one when I was, I don't even know how old I would have been, like 12 or something like that. I was young and started watching it, and watched it every single summer with my mom, I guess. And then I fell off a little bit in the middle once I went off to university, just because there were, there were some times where I didn't.
There were parties to go to.
Well, the summers that I would go back and live at my mom's for the summer and work, I would follow it. But there were a few seasons near the end where I like didn't have cable and I just like missed it, or I would have to watch it online after the fact. So I wasn't as in the mix as I usually was. But I've followed every season, the season that it is on, in some capacity. There were some seasons that I followed the feeds, and there were some that I didn't, just because I just didn't have the time to give to it. I consider myself, a long time fan. I've seen every season, and not a ton of rewatching, but
I think I'm trying to figure out by what factor do you know more about Big Brother than David? Like a million, 12 million, 15,000 million?
It's tough because like mathematically, if you multiply anything by zero, it still ends up being zero, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Infinity more than David knows.
No, it's weird to say because for all the jokes that people have been making the first month of the game of like, oh, David is looking for a hidden immunity idol. This past week, David kind of found a hidden immunity idol. Right? So like the prophecy has come true.
It's one of those things where it's like, if you just throw things out over like, absolutely anything, eventually something will make sense. And, David found himself in the dark and it worked out for him this time.
Yeah, David is a 1 for 2 in terms of dark challenges, providing good fortune on Big Brother. So I guess a pretty good batting average.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Has anybody else competed? Because we've seen the like dark box challenge in the backyard, like in 2016. Yeah. I'm trying to think because he may be the only person to compete in two of them, which 50%. Yeah, not so bad.
Well, I feel like the one time I really remember, I know it's been used in other times, but I really remember it in Big Brother 16 when it was a battle of the block because Christine was trying to throw it with the dog bones, but Donnie single-handedly won it. So maybe Nicole and Cody have done it multiple times, but yeah, I can't really think of it. I mean, also sort of to piggyback off of Jenny's first comment. So let me just say, I don't think Liana or myself mean for this podcast to basically feel as any form of like erasure or really turning down a lot of the, for lack of a better term, ugly behavior that occurred this past week. Those are important issues that have been discussed, should keep being discussed. I would say in particular, if you haven't yet, watch like the first 45 minutes of the LFC roundtable on Tuesday, particularly, when Amon came on and spoke with the LFC about the nuances behind everything that happened on Sunday and Monday. I thought it was a fantastic insight, and that's not even to get into the Ian of it all. So again, we don't want to necessarily say that those issues don't matter. That being said, I know that in these times, even when the shows that we love are not doing the things that we want to and can be outright terrible, there's always a salve that you look for, some sort of ray of sunshine that comes peeking through the clouds. And so we hope to be the ray of sunshine in some way, shape or form. So again, we do not mean to offend by not necessarily discussing or acknowledging the issues outright. That being said, I think it's safe to say we'll do a skosh Big Brother 22 talk, but I don't think any of the three of us are really passionate about getting into the quote unquote fun and games that is linked with this past week.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Mike, for saying that, because that is actually what I wanted to add as well, is that I don't mean for, to take away from all of the realness that everyone is experiencing, both inside and outside of the house through this season, just more so that there has been a lot of coverage of that. And I don't, there are so many people that have the words better than I have to say these things. And I think that, it's important for all of us to consume these podcasts. And then also if it feels right for you and you need like a little break from it, to still be able to consume something like this that tries to, make the best of the situation that we have in front of us. And I think that I really look back to the Survivor B&B coverage from Island of the Idols, and how that was a particularly tough season to cover. And, I agree with everyone that applauded you guys for, how you handled it, because it's really hard when there's such a dark tone on the, there's a heaviness on the season to be able to do a podcast like this. And I just want to say that, I really appreciate the way you guys, still managed to produce this podcast without it seeming insensitive, if that makes sense. So that was perfectly said, Mike.
That's really appreciated, Jenny. No, that's the stuff that, I think keeps us up at night a bit as content creators, wanting to, it's a tough world out there and wanting to keep as many parties happy as possible. And so to hear that really does mean the world.
It's really hard. So there's no way to do it perfectly, but I really think that you guys, managed to still keep the spirit of this, this podcast, as natural as possible, given the circumstances. So I agree with, there's not so much to say about the season right now that can go along with the spirit of this podcast. But BB is like, it's still what it is. And there's so many, you know, gems to find, maybe outside of the content of this particular season. So I love a good game. So I'm still very grateful to be here.
Thankful, Jenny. We're thankful.
Sorry.
Let's retire that word.
I need to take some sort of pill to erase like some of this vernacular forever.
Well, no, because apparently that's what everyone did this season with Ride or Die. And now it's untouchable.
Oh my gosh.
I think that really is sort of like the monkey's paw, right? Of like, God, I wish that phrase didn't exist anymore. It's like, great, we're just going to replace it with another word and say that over and over again. It's like, no, I didn't want that. Just say final two.
I think that's a thing, though, that, you know, people just pick up on the words they're hearing around them. And, you know, so no one is using the word ride or die this season. So the thing has become untouchable. And now everyone's brain is grabbing that word instead. And then that is the theme of the season. But I'm sure that no one will be wanting to refer to anyone as an untouchable anymore. Also, we should all maybe be untouchable without like, let's not make this weird.
It's a very odd choice of a word to say, like, my untouchable. I mean, I think, you know, of course, when the linguistic historians look back on Big Brother and evaluate exactly what all of this means, maybe they'll find some more nuance to it. But yeah,
I don't know. I think their brain's going to break down once they get to the her dat portion of Big Brother history.
Judy Chow.
And Judy, I think Caleb Reynolds might just shut down Big Brother history. The Library of Alexandria of Big Brother is just going to burn, self-immolate in response to Caleb Reynolds. Yeah, I guess I think if I ever played Big Brother, I would try to come in and like, oh, like, is that your hippity hop? It's like, what does that mean? Like, oh, you know, that person you're going to go to the end with, that you'll hippity hop to the end with, no matter who they are.
It's like the,
just see if I could get it in there.
It's like the America's Player challenge of Eric Stein having to. Yeah, like you're basically just going and being like, I'm going to make this a thing this season, and it has nothing to do. There's no vote about it. I'm just doing this for my own entertainment. I want to see how many times it gets mentioned on Twitter by the time I get out of the house.
Oh, that would be beautiful. I would love to do something like that. Like just, and especially for the diary room, like come or the, when I, you know, you're voting, come up with all the things you're going to do. Like just try to throw in as many inside jokes or like weird things as possible. Although it would be hilarious when Mike gets evicted because he tried to make hippity hop a thing.
I think my thing would be like, that's ducky. Cause like I'm a big duck person. You guys can see my little duck on my microphone right now. We got all the ducks in the bathroom on this season. And like, I feel like that's like an old timey thing that like your grandmother would say that no one is saying anymore. Mm. Like, you know what? We're just going to go out there, win the veto, and everything will be ducky. And I'm just going to like, just keep that going. It's going to be the most cringeworthy thing. And before you know it, everyone's going to be picking it up and ducky is making a comeback.
So is that something that Memphis would say then if he is, it's like old timey, right?
Yes.
He's grandpa. So something that was not on any of the episodes, but when I was watching feeds yesterday, Memphis in the morning was walking around, you know, he's always up early and he was talking about, he's like, man, it'd be really great to just relax and smoke a doobie. It's like, Grandpa Memphis.
He sounds just like a narc. Yes. He sounds like trying to blend in, like, hey, kids, are you smoking doobies here?
He was trying to play it off, too, as like, it's not really my thing, man. But you know what? In this house, a good doobie, what does that even mean?
That's that's what I'm going to call my first alliance if I get in the Big Brother house, is the good doobies.
The good doobies. Honestly, like, there's nothing screams I don't smoke weed more than calling it a doobie. So, yeah, I'm not shocked, Memphis, that it's not usually your thing.
But y'all smoke doobies, get some honeys.
I don't know. In 1947, when Memphis played Big Brother, I'm sure that was what it was.
My goodness.
But yeah. Oh, it was so
Why
funny.
Does he act older than he is? Like, I just truly don't understand. He's only a couple years older than me. Why is he like this?
Yeah, that's a good point. And even with, isn't Enzo older than him?
Enzo's
too?
Older than him.
But Enzo has this weird, like, Peter Pan syndrome where he purposely wants to act. Remember, this is the guy who, like, wanted to be a teenage father. So I think it's just like, your aspirations in life, like maybe Memphis sees himself, like he has a child now. He's like, now I view myself as more mature. And Enzo's like, hey guys, let's do this, yo. Come on, let's go skateboard down by the park.
That is actually spot on. He's reverse aging or something, like Benjamin Button.
He's been a Benjamin Button. Yeah. I think Enzo's going to win, and Julie's going to be like, well, actually, but Enzo, I just mentally aged you, and you're actually 17 right now, so we can't legally give you the money anymore.
Or his final two plea is just, goo goo gaga.
No, please don't let him do that for my sake. I'm going to crawl into a cave. If it's an adult baby final speech, though, to be honest, with the way these jury speeches go in the modern final twos, like, they might as well be talking gobbledygook.
They get 10. They get 10 seconds. You might as well just say that anyway.
You know what? It might be if I get particularly miffed at production and I make the final two, I'm gonna use my final 10 seconds to sing the Beatles catalog and just see what happens, because it's live television, right? I wanted them to, you know, if I'm gonna be losing out on $500,000, I want CBS to be paying as much as they have to for my time in the house.
And most cases, they, you know, the jury's made their mind up, might as well have some fun with it and just confuse everyone.
I hope everyone's ducky with their votes right now. All right, well, let's dope briefly again on the week in Big Brother 22. We can talk about it as freely as we want to, though I feel like, again, we are probably not going to veer too much into it just based on everything that happened. But let's talk about the person who left here, our final pre-jury member in Bailey. Liana, pre-season, how did you think Bailey was gonna do?
This one hurt. This one hurt.
I see where this is going.
So I did have her making the jury, but she was my Rob G. Dot Otis of this season.
Now, are you talking like final like three? Fourth place, third place?
Yeah, like fourth place, I think, was where I had her. Third or fourth. Because what I sort of do with my predictions, I kind of like put them in general order of how I think people are going to do. Right. So I put my winner, my final two, and then kind of like work in the pieces in order. So this was rough because I had just finished. I was behind on her season of the challenge that she was on, and so I just caught up on her season of the challenge, and not to spoil anything, but she does quite well. So I was like, Bailey's got this. Bailey's gonna do amazing, because I said she would win HOH three times.
Wow.
And would win a handful of vetoes. She made a strong alliance with, so it's supposed to be Tyler, but I wrote Taylor, which I think was just sort of premonition. Wow. Of the season. Yeah.
Which version? Yeah.
This is T-A-Y-L-E-R. I don't think we've had Taylor yet. But Taylor, Day, Christmas, and Enzo. And then I said that she would also be a polarizing figure for not wanting to work with the other women in the house. And for her comic book name, I said it would be Swaley, which would be a weird mutant Bay Swaley Swaggly creation, and Twitter is going to hate it.
So you're talking like some sort of like weird like conjoined twin thing with Swaggy C?
Yes, because in the season of the challenge, she had a blanket with their pictures on it. Yeah. So it was like somehow, I don't know, I think I got confused about what I was writing a prediction for. So
I misunderstood the assignment.
Yes.
I'm picturing like when you say Swaley, obviously, I'm picturing like big like bird arms and like swaying through the
it's flying.
Yeah,
well, sway usually means back and forth,
but it's gliding, just like I'm picturing like a Pokemon, and it's like it's got like these big like bird arms, but it's just like back and forth.
Wait, so you're envisioning a Pokemon creature themed after Bailey that doesn't actually move anywhere, just stays in one direction the entire time.
When you're going to catch the Pokemon, if like I'm talking about like Pokemon Go, my fellow Pokemon Go players, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't really move much on the screen. It usually just like does some sort of thing back and forth, jumps maybe once. And so I'm picturing like a bird-like creature that's just kind of swaying side to side with its like arms. I don't know. I have a very strange imagination, but the minute like Liana, you raised your arm when you said Swaley, and I was like, yes. And then when you described it, I was like, oh, I'm wrong.
What generation Pokemon was this? I must have missed it.
Well,
yeah, I think it's off the family tree. I think it's swayed to the ground off of the branches.
Honestly, I think that this might just be some sort of like weird like fixation in my brain, because I now think of all Showman's names as Pokemon, because last we had the Tangela, which is a literal Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's pronounced Tangela, but it's Tangela. So I'm just thinking whenever I hear a Showman's name, I'm like, how would that be a Pokemon?
That's what the love room should be, the Pokemon room.
I really like this idea though, is that I think you could partner up with like an artist, Jenny, and like give them the name of a Pokemon and like describe it to them, and then they could draw it for you, and you could get a career for generation 9 or 10, whatever is coming up, to like add new Pokemon based on Swaylee, Jordef, Grenchel.
Zanky. Oh gosh. I actually can see Zanky already. Like, I didn't realize that this was a hidden talent of mine, but any artists, you know, if you want to slide into my DMs, maybe we can come up with the Pokemon Showmance recreations or something.
Zanky sounds like an Urban Dictionary name for like a tissue that's been up someone's butt. You know, like, oh, you get a hanky, you get a Zanky. Like, oh, I don't want a Zanky, it's nasty.
A tissue that's been up someone's butt?
I was like, not where my brain went at all. I was
congratulations.
Like, oh. It's like an electricity Pokemon. And Mike's like, nope.
The butt tissue.
I don't think anyone's ever said that before, but butt tissues. And suffice it to say, my superhero was not themed after butt tissues, nor swaying. I think my superhero name was Bay of Shade, which is a take on Ray of Sunshine.
Was she a like a water bay? Like
like Bailey and Bay, but instead of like a ray of sunshine, like she's casting light. Maybe she's casting like shadows.
She's shading everyone.
Mm. Oh yeah, exactly. Like she's throwing a lot of shade. Yeah. Which she definitely did in my exit interview with her, but we can get to that later on. So I said that Bailey. I also said she'd make the jury. I sort of said that she'd be like the Rob G. Otis, and that she would be one of those power players that got taken out in a double eviction. Mm. And I said that she would acquire a power and actually use it correctly, unlike last time. And I said she would come up with a secret signal to shout out Swaggy in the DR, and it turned out to be not so secret.
It turned out to be just shouting him out.
I don't know. I was wondering if like I was trying to remember, like, I think people were doing like hand signals or like pulling on their ear or something. But I feel like that has gone the way of the dodo right now. People just sort of like say everyone's families and friends' names at like 30 miles an hour as they get up on the chair and walk to the door,
which like you can't understand what they're saying half the time, because like, you know, we saw it with Danny voting this week. She was still saying words and she was like almost in the hallway already, and it's like, we can't hear you anymore. Like, what is the point of this? If you're going like pick one person a week or something, or like pick one thing to say, the more you trail on as you're running away, it's not even getting picked up. Like, they know you don't have to. I don't know, I just don't.
No, that's definitely the funny part for me, because I'm like, why just stay there and just give your shout out, and net, like, is there someone there with a prod just being like, get up,
you're gonna get shocked if
okay,
you don't get up.
Run, Mom, and Grandpa,
because sometimes they are like, look like they're running away, and so I think you might be onto something, Liana. Like, I think that there's a producer. I think that Allison Grodner is sitting in there, and she's got like a knife, and she's
Allison
like
Grodner.
Allison Grodner. You know, that's her evil sister.
Yeah.
You'll make me bring in Allison Grodner. I can imagine her like dressed up like in a Catwoman outfit with a cattle prod.
That is actually, the cattle prod is exactly what I'm picturing as well. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Yeah, that's what I'm picturing, is that they're just like, oh my god, okay, I've taken my time, I gotta go, like, don't take me, Allison.
Do you like filibuster your way out of the DR? Like, just like go on that long string of dialogue, but like don't shout at anybody, like start saying the preamble to the Constitution just to like really throw people off as they're walking to the DR.
Wait, but like what purpose would that serve?
Just for
chaos.
Just to hear like someone yelling a bunch, a very fast stream of words, and go to Jenny's point, start from the chair, do it as you go throughout the hallway, and stop only until you're properly seated back on the couch.
Like all the way back into the living room?
Yeah, exactly.
Or you can like you can hide like the name of who you're voting for, like in this stream of like of words, and like you just they have to pick up what you're trying to say. Like we need, we just need to, you know, level up Julie here. She needs to work a little bit harder. Let's make her work for trying to figure out what this vote is.
I'm fearful of leveling up Julie because apparently she's stuck in kindness mode.
Oh my gosh. I truly think she's coming unglued.
I still think my favorite Julie Chen moment, and I know that, you know, the ending lines have been by far my favorite thing this season, but when she messed up the second word into the beginning of that show the one time, when it's literally, I know it's not like completely live, like it's taped, and they didn't even bother to like pull it back and just restart. They were like, it's fine, whatever. We don't care. Yeah,
honestly, at this point, the Julie Chen segments of the show feel like a public access television show where they're like, if people are watching, they're fine with us at this point.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
Do it. Essentially, it has the production value of Wayne's World at this point in terms of like professionalism in front of the camera.
My theory is that she's just doing some sort of like abstract performance art project throughout the season, and it's like she's just making up these little riddles for her own entertainment, and like there's gonna be some sort of grand finale at the end where it ends up meaning something. Or okay, well, no, because they don't hear, the house guests don't hear it. I was like, could this be a challenge?
I was going to say, if they, this is not an amazing race task, Jenny, unfortunately, where it's going to be like, oh, please fill in the blanks.
Forgive me for
Julie
trying to find
Chen,
some sense in this, because I truly don't get it.
How dare you. Mike, do you have the ability to play a sound clip? You do? Okay, oh, wow. So I sent you a sound clip because our first game today is going to be all about Julie Chen because, come on, like, it's just, Julie is bringing, I was going to say so much, but really so little.
The bare minimum, truly.
But, like, it's making me so incredibly happy because just, like, between, like, you guys are talking about, the public access quality to her hosting abilities to, of course, her very own Ron Clark rules, the Julie Chen rules that we're getting that apparently have just are, she's obsessed with kindness. It really makes me happy. But these types of things are continuing on Twitter. So she tweeted out a video that it's Thankfulness Friday what? Or something like that.
That doesn't even have alliteration.
But no, it's
Thursday.
It's Forgiveness Friday. Friday. That's what it is. She continues on to go into some other stuff after, but I pulled the first part of the clip for us to listen to. This is some sort of preamble, I suppose, to the game that we're going to end up playing with Julie Chen quotes.
Hi, everyone. It is Forgiveness Friday. Is there someone on this day that you want to apologize to and ask for their forgiveness? Or is there someone that maybe you've been holding on to a lot of anger that you want to forgive and move on?
So
what the hell is she doing?
Okay, so she does go into reading some scripture later and talking about like some other religious-y related items, which I didn't want to talk about today. But I have the whole like theory of like Julie Chen is going to start a cult. Okay, I'm like pretty sure she's preparing to start a cult. These are her rules. She's starting the Forgiveness Fridays. I don't know. I don't know what she's gearing up for, but it's something to watch.
I have a question. Is she the way she sounded in that particular clip? I'm curious, does she have access to the same drugs that Christmas had during BB19? Because
I think they need to throw those pills in the trash at that point.
They're definitely expired because she's like, do you ever want to like forgive somebody? But like, you know, you just want to move on. Like, I think that her and Memphis are smoking doobies.
Oh, no, they got into the doob stash. That's a good point, though. Liana, when was this tweeted out? What time of day?
Okay, let's see. So this was, yeah, let's see if it was around 420, because I believe that's what you're getting at here, Mike. If it was posted at 422,
or if it's like late afternoon and she's like gone into the Chardonnay at this point, yeah. You know, of like, it's Friday, mm-hmm. My one day of work is over.
It's been a rough day of doing the bare minimum at my job.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, Leon, I could see your point about her possibly wanting to build a cult. At the same time, how in God's name is she, or in Les's name, I suppose, if that's her deity, is she going to rouse people if she can't public speak, which is very evident that she can't? She's going to trip over the first word of any sermon she gives.
I don't know. I really don't know.
It's the same reason that she has had the same job for 22 seasons, despite being a terrible public speaker.
may the Lord be with you and also with you of Jilly Chan will be like, settle down, Beavis, or like, but first will be the way she begins all of her sermons.
Am I right, ladies?
Am I right, lady? Do you hear that? Do you hear that? That's God cheering for you to get into heaven.
That's the man upstairs.
We brought in a sinner today. He has lost the programming in his ear, but we are here to bring it back to him. I'm all for, you know what, now I'm all in on Chenism. I really am. Before we move on to more fun and games, we're going to take a quick break to listen to a word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time. Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we are back, so let's keep on keeping on.
All right, well, Jilly Chan has been, you know, like you said, she's been on the air for so long for some reason. And she's had a lot of really good quotes. And what I didn't realize is that some of her quotes, these proverbs or proverbial phrases or whatever you want to call them, she started them a long time ago. Okay, so she's been dropping these nuggets of wisdom throughout her career. So what I've done is I've pulled Jilly Chan quotes, and what your job, and we'll alternate back and forth between the two of you, is to guess if this was a real Jilly Chan quote or just a generic proverbial phrase that exists in the world. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
So Mike, we're going to go ahead and start things off with you.
Okay.
So here are your quotes. A, anything that can happen will happen. Or B, anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Ooh. So I'm trying to think of, like, if I'm in Jilly Chan's head and I'm trying to set up a segment, because I'm assuming that's what these quotes are from, because again, we only see her one day a week. I'm going to say that she said B. A sounds like the perspective setting up a trap like she accidentally did with Kaser last week of, that's why America voted you back in. But I feel like this is a good segue into, like, the house blows up. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
I'm sorry, Mike. No, that's incorrect. Anything that can happen will happen, which in and of itself is such a stupid phrase. Oh, really?
I know Jilly Chan is all about, like, quantum physics, right? Like, she, Neil Bohr is her idol that she really knows about, that anything can happen will happen.
Yeah, her and Ian really just get along on that level of discussing physics. She's, you know, it's like, so the Big Brother house is like the Schrodinger's cat this week. If Tyler is up, do we know if he's up? Anyway, whatever. Dude, I took physics a long time ago. Okay, Jenny, let's move on to you. So these are your two quotes. A, slowly but surely. or B, slow and steady wins the race?
Okay. I really thought that first one was going to have more, like slowly but surely. And then you pause, and I was like, "This is quite the dramatic pause."
Yeah, usually it's the predicate, like the pre-stated clause.
Or slow and steady wins the race. Thinking about winning races, I'm thinking about Christmas, winning races, being a bit slow, the drugs.
It's all connecting. I'm seeing this.
It all comes together.
She may have said it the same day that she recorded that clip we just heard. I think that Julie said slowly but surely.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. That was me forgetting to write the other half of the quote there.
I called it. There's more, right?
I found all the Julie Chen quotes, and then I was trying to find ones that matched them, right? That were very similar. So, slow and steady win the race. Slowly but surely. And then, you know, but surely. Well,
like, slow and steady, like, you could give that as, like, encouragement to somebody. Wait, if like, you're trying to tell someone to go slowly and carefully, you can't just go, slowly but surely.
Yeah, period. Yes. That's what I was trying to, and like, I definitely overthought it, because I was thinking, like, what is the context in which she's saying slow but steady wins the race? Whereas, like, I could see her saying, like, you know, in one of her little segments before they go back to the, like, the produced part of the show, like, slowly but surely, like, Christmas gathered her, I don't know what she's gathering.
Nope, just me making a mistake.
So, totally it's normal. Just that.
Okay,
do we have the context in any of these quotes, or...
No,
not that would really help. Let's be real.
No, I don't think so.
No, all right.
Mike, your next quotes are A, ego is going to get the best of everyone, or B, ego trip, a journey to nowhere.
Oh, no. B sounds like an actual, like one of those fake Big Brother movies that they put up on the posters for that one competition. A has to be the Chen quote.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. I'm sorry. You didn't like Ego Trip, A Journey to Nowhere.
Is that one of Cody's movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Directed by Candace Cain.
Candace Cain coming next summer. Ego Trip, where Cody goes on like a trip and it goes nowhere because the car breaks down, but instead he falls in love with a homely gas station attendant.
Coming to Hallmark movies.
Coming soon. Okay. Jenny, these are your next quotes. A, you need to prioritize. If you can't get to everything or do everything, that's okay. Or B, good things happen when you get your priorities straight.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to go with the second one. Good things happen when you get your priorities straight.
I'm sorry. No, that was incorrect. That no.
I can't imagine her saying that first one.
Yeah, I've never would have believed she ever said A in her life. Put those words together with any structure.
For what reason, Mike, would you like to explain?
I don't know. Can you read that quote one more time? The actual quote that Julie Chen said.
You need to prioritize. If you can't get to everything or do everything, that's okay. That's how she feels about hosting the show. She's like, I could prioritize doing this correctly, but rather not.
Is this some sort of like... direction for a competition?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, like, because I know that sometimes during those live comps, she tries to, like, fill in the gaps of time Jeff Probst style by being like, you can do it. So I guess she's trying to do that of, like, get organized, make sure you prioritize so everything's in order. But it sounds so wordy for that.
But I also don't think that she would have, like, given that sort of help. I just really am baffled by the context of when she would ever say this.
Well, I think this one may have been from an interview. Look, Julie Chen didn't give that many quotes, okay?
So
that might be the context for this. It might not be in the context of Big Brother. Although she could have been talking about Big Brother, because I think some of the issue was, it was like in an interview and she was talking about Big Brother. But anyway, all right, Mike, let's go back to you. You have to own who you are, and part of who you are is your age. That was A. Your quote for B is, gray hair is a sign of wisdom, not age.
Ooh, both with very similar messages. Mm-hmm. Age is beauty in a manner of speaking. All right, so I'm going to... See, A is so long-winded. And you've sort of convinced me through the last question that Julie Chen can ramble a bit. So I think this is in her wheelhouse. I'm going to go with A on this one.
That is correct. Yes, that was the Julie Chen quote here.
Wow.
Yep.
I can't also, win.
I'm sorry, Jenny. You are mathematically eliminated. This is the last question, but
story
that's
of my
okay
life.
That's okay, because the last two quotes, I think, are really truly the gems here in this whole quiz. So your first quote, A, cheese, wine, and friends must be old to be good. Or B, I need to have a cheesesteak.
Okay, this had to come right after the Forgiveness Friday tweet, right?
Yeah.
I really need a cheesesteak, you know, right now.
You know, after all of this forgiveness, like, nothing would be better than sharing a cheesesteak together.
Just sit around and have a cheesesteak.
Oh, I can't even imagine Julie eating a cheesesteak. Oh boy.
Wait, was it cheesesteak or cheesesteak?
Cheesesteak.
Oh, like I heard cheesesteak.
A Philly cheesesteak.
Give me a polio, man.
Anyone got some bagel bites?
That's what we know. Like, I think Julie Chen would totally crush that if she lived in the Big Brother house, right? When they're like making pizzas in the oven, like, yeah, give me some of that.
Can you say the first one again? Wine and cheese. And I just really need to hear that one more time.
Yes. Wine, cheese, and friends must be old to be good.
I need a cheesesteak.
Why is she so age-based?
I know.
Like, the past two quotes are about, like, hey, you know, gray is good. And now it's like, if your friends are old, that's great.
So I'm thinking about, like, you know, now that Liana said sometimes these are interviews, like, do you think that people have, I feel like in interviews, maybe people have discussed like her long career in television and, you know, how she's like not aged or something like that, or like her feelings about her aging or something like along those lines, or how, I don't know. So I'm trying to think of like, you know, she's trying to like own it, being like, you know what, like, I love old cheese, old wine, like nothing better old than people being old, but also a cheesesteak would be nice. Oh, wow. This is, again, I'm overthinking it because it's just like, I can see her saying the first one. But the, I want a cheesesteak or whatever it was, is just so absurd that it's like, that has to be it. Right. But, oh God, I'm going to go with A.
No, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. I need a cheesesteak. Now, okay, here's the thing. I pulled that from like a quotes.com type website. So
Are we talking about the same Julie Chen?
Was this from the feeds leak from Big Brother 21, that day 44 stuff that the satellite captured of her getting ready behind the scenes?
I need a cheesesteak in my green room right now before I can go on.
Okay, now this makes sense though. Again, if we're building out the sect of Chenism, it's all about age, right? Like, as you get older, the more wise you get. You should come up with some mantras like, need a cane, don't complain, like lines on your face, lines in the Bible or something, like to really put forward this mentality of like, as you get older, you become more revered in Chenism.
You can add that to your list of things you're going to push in the Big Brother house, Mike, like right next to Hippity Hop. What was it? Need a cane, can't complain? What was it?
Yep.
Are we talking about candy cane or?
Oh, well, no. In that case, Cody really shouldn't complain.
Oh, no. No, but I was thinking, like, I don't know how to do a tiebreaker for this. I was like, what if we, because we did a draft, Mike, you know, and the first episode, trying to think like, oh, what are the other phrases Julie Chen is gonna say?
Like we've all been off the mark so far.
Well, we didn't realize how kindness focused they were gonna be. Like, clearly she's in a subset. So like, kind words conquer. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. Kindness is wisdom. Kind people are the best kind of people. Sometimes you must be cruel to be kind.
Oh, I remember that part of what was it? What movie is that? The one with Julia Stiles and Heath Ledger.
Is it 10 Things I Hate About You?
Yeah. 10 Things I Hate About You, because they sing Cruel. That's cruel, they sing that to song, be Cruel kind. To Be Kind. Yeah. Like, that's how I remember it. But the thing was, with Julie's last rule, like, you could pull all you want to, Liana, from other sources, but Julie seemed to just make up her own rule about kindness and made no sense. Even less sense than if you have to be right or be kind, always choose to be kind, which again makes no sense.
I really think that she's just spent her summer up until this point reading a lot of like self-help and like motivational books. And she's, you know, she's like, you know what? I can carry this energy into my show. And she's just botching quotes that she's taken from this book. It's truly fascinating.
Yeah, no, I definitely believe that. I was trying to like put them all together, like if this is a puzzle that we're trying to solve, because okay, if you have to choose between being right and being kind, choose kindness, yet you are supposed to let kindness be the rule to everything you say. So does that mean that being right is never a rule? So like, you're never allowed to be right?
Oh,
you always
God.
Have to be kind.
This is a logic puzzle. She lives in a red house.
Leaving judgment
she
at the door.
Eats vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, I don't know. It somehow all fits together, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because then it's saying, so if it's not the rule, then there's no such thing as right or wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, this is all going to add up to something at some point.
Oh my God. Also, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, the golden rule.
Okay. Yes. But it's not a rule to be right.
It sure isn't the olden rule. I'm pretty sure Julie would call it the olden rule.
Olden rule.
Oh my God. I don't know.
I need a cheesesteak.
Same. I need a doobie and a cheesesteak to get through this, man.
Oh my God. Well, let's get into our next game here, because this week we saw a tried and true tradition in the Big Brother house come about. Nicole Franzel got, I think, her fourth career costume in the Slopitard / Sloppies cereal box. I will say, I think the eviction episode was actually very well edited in terms of displaying a lot of stuff that happened pertaining to the eviction. I do wish we had gotten a brief segment on the punishments, because it feels like it just made it even more weird that Nicole walked into the DR just wearing a cereal box and it has not been acknowledged whatsoever by the show. Like, it just sort of writes it off. And yeah, Nicole was always a cereal box. Don't you guys remember?
Wasn't it like briefly acknowledged because she like got her costume, but it was like, it was a blink and you miss it.
It was a TLDR for sure.
So it could be a thing where, like, if you legitimately missed Wednesday's episode, you could watch it and be like,
why is
Nicole,
she?
Why does Nicole look like a cereal box?
Yeah.
When did this happen? Suffice it to say, that got me thinking about punishment costumes on Big Brother throughout the years. And in the spirit of the NBA playoffs, which are happening right now, as Jenny and many people are very aware of, I have created a Big Brother punishment costume bracket. So basically, I've taken 16 previous costumes from over the years, match them up into pairings randomly, and you know, there's three of us, majority rules, whoever's going to make it through each pairing. There are visual guides for those that might not remember these particular costumes. You can go to bit.ly/costume bracket, costume, not costumes, singular costume, costume bracket. They're going to be in order of the way that they are presented, but these should all be costumes. Before we get into it, what did I get wrong here? What did I leave off of the pack? Because I know the internet has already spoken up against a few.
Mike, I'm so disappointed in you. You left off the banana punishment costume.
See, here's the thing. The banana, in my opinion, like, I like the banana. The banana was a little too simple for me. Like, we'll get into this. I do think that costumes as of late have gotten like more detailed, whereas the banana costume was just the banana costume. If he had had like I don't know, like maracas hanging from his ears or something. Like, it needs those little more details, in my point of view.
I think for me, it was like Casey chain smoking in the backyard in a banana costume that like yes. really did it for me. Like, it didn't have anything necessarily to do with the costume itself. It was the person who donned the costume.
I love a good chain smoking banana. I agree that was
I'm pretty
overlooked.
Sure Memphis probably thinks like those are the mascots that are used to get kids to smoke doobies or chain smoking bananas.
Oh my god. Sorry, now I'm back to thinking of Memphis running the DARE assembly at school.
Welcome to the adults table, everybody. Let me teach you about drugs. Stop
he should not be teaching
those bananas.
You don't want to be a chain smoking banana with your doobies.
Smoking doobies.
Yeah. Yeah. We should not let
now,
Memphis
hold on. I got to put on a scarf. It's very cold in this auditorium.
Like, you know, kids, like, people are going to offer you drugs. They might be calling it the bananas. They might be calling it
sloppies.
Yeah.
I've been standing 10 minutes. I got to sit down, kids. My back hurts.
Yeah, exactly.
Finish
I'm
going to
lie down on the floor for the rest of the assembly. My back's killing me.
I'm still like genuinely amazed they got him up on the wall in the first place to do the HOH competition this week, like the wall comp.
I mean, he clearly wasn't dressed for it. He was wearing his bootleg Miami Vice Magnum PI Hawaiian shirts on what up on the wall.
They're his athletic Hawaiian shirts, Mike.
Jenny, any major snubs in your opinion from the list we're about to go through?
I mean, I like some of the older school ones because I feel like they've gotten lazy in like the recent seasons and just like repeated some versions of the same thing. I liked the Big Brother 8 bunny costumes.
Mm-hmm. I did take that off because they didn't have white belts to go with it, and that is a fashion faux pas.
True.
Jen Johnson herself made that clear.
Yes, very important. I like one of my favorite things about the bunny costumes is that like it looked like Kale's was just dirty like all the time. Like Jen's was pure white, and then like Kale's looked like it had been like, you know, in a 70s home that like people had been, there was chain smoking bananas yeah. there the entire time, and it just had been like, you know, slightly off white from all of the chain smoking banana action. It was just looked dirty.
I think the other one in here too, the frogs, I believe, are not included here.
Because Nicole was the frog, and also I believe it was Jess, Cody, and Whistlenut were the frogs,
gosh.
I believe. I was trying to remember. They got to, the person who got the punishment had to determine, or who got the reward had to determine who it was, right? It wasn't an America vote.
I believe that was the case,
yeah.
Yes.
What
right.
about,
because now I remember, because it was like, oh, like, if you got bit, you got a punishment, but it was like, no, oh, Christmas won the thing, but the punishment was not on her. It was on other people.
Maybe.
How do we feel about Frank as the carrot?
The
food ones are kind of boring, but like it, along the lines of Casey in the banana suit, like I thought it was kind of funny because of Frank being like, he's kind of a ginger. He's ginger.
Right.
Like people would be like, "Oh, the curly red hair. He's Carrot Top." Like,
and there was also the thing where like Frank happened to be in the carrot costume when he was HOH during Dan's funeral. So I think that's like the connotation
yes.
that people remember the costume by.
Yeah, I love that's one of the best things about the punishment costumes. Is just like anytime there's like a serious conversation happening, and then like, you know, I always think about someone who doesn't watch Big Brother like walking into the room while this is on and like seeing like a tense fight, and then like there's someone dressed up as a carrot in the corner, or like a giant
yeah, or,
box that says sloppies,
yeah,
like,
or
like
even
what
like,
is this,
or even like in Big Brother 19 when Josh and Mark got in each other's faces and Mark was wearing the tutu from the bowl arena competition. Still, it's like, it's even the people that are involved in conflicts for a moment, the costume facade drops.
Yeah, it's like this can't be toxic masculinity, look at me, I'm in this cute tutu. It's like yeah, there's been some good ones, but
yeah,
I think that what you've got on the bracket here is still like a good collection.
And so I also will say, I think the one that I personally am dismayed I technically couldn't put on was Sam the Robot from Big Brother 20, but that's not a costume. Like, if I transformed you into a weasel, I wouldn't say, hey, nice weasel costume you've got on. You physically change form. That doesn't mean a costume to me.
And she wasn't inside of it. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, it was another thing moving around. And she was, you know, like the ears and eyes behind it. But it's not like she was wearing it.
Yeah, exactly. So again, bit.ly/costume bracket if you want to review. Let's go into our first matchup here, and we're getting a little risque for the first one. This is the Pixel punishment costume from Big Brother 18. If you might not remember, I believe it was like for finishing last in an HOH competition back when this was still teams. Team Frank, which I can't remember, maybe they were category 4. I can't remember. They were definitely not Big Sister, but I remember that much.
Weren't they like the Freakazoids?
No, that was Glenn's team.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yes.
But it was Bridget, Frank, Big Meech, and Polly.
Yeah.
So they had to walk around with like Minecraft pixels. Like they had to walk around sort of quote unquote naked with flesh colored pixels on their naughty bits. And this is up against, from Big Brother 15, the Clownitard. That season's unitard that Candace got bequeathed with, in which she had to wear a clown outfit complete with a tutu, a two-toned costume, some pom-poms down the chest, a rainbow wig, and a red nose. And I do believe she was evicted in the Clownitard as well, that insult to injury. Jenny, who are you picking in this matchup here?
I feel like Candace suffered so much that like this particular costume is just like it wasn't even fun or interesting. Like it was just like it's a clown suit, but not really a clown suit, and it's like sort of in this like weird 70s spirit. Like I feel like it had like
Kale's bunny costume.
Yeah, exactly, from the 70s home. I feel like I remember it had like wide legs, like a I don't know. I feel like it was like a flared leg type situation.
Like a bell bottom.
Yes, a bell bottom. Exactly. I don't know why that word escaped from me. Probably because I'm filling it with new words like ducky. I like group ones, because it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of fun when there's a bunch of people in it together. I don't love when they're like trying to be like, ooh, this is sexy. And I think that it's kind of sucks that like the punishment costume forces, people to like wear less than they might wish to. At least like some of the unitard things are like, they're fully covered. So right. I didn't particularly love that the Pixel one forced people to, you know, be shirtless if they didn't particularly want to, or, you know, be like wearing some sort of skimpy bikini underneath because they're obviously not completely naked. But I just think that in terms of creativity, the Pixel was more creative than the clown. So, as much as I don't love it for some reasons, I think I'm going to give this one to the Pixel for creativity.
I think I'm gonna agree with you here. I like the fact that it reminds me of The Sims. I love The Sims. So I like that element to it. I do remember Big Meech not being happy about having to wear this particular costume, but it is definitely unique, and I will give it props for that. Props.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it to the Pixels as well. It feels a little weird. You'd think this would pop up during like Big Brother 20 when technology was a thing. I don't even know why. For some reason, the punishment was you have to like the Casey's pinwheel unitard will not be on here, but that had a similar technology theming, right? For like Mac users, they know about the pinwheel of death. It almost feels like you should swap places with these two punishments, because I guess outside of that one endurance where the trolls got to poke them and beat them up after they got out, I can't really think of any other like computer themed competitions that would necessitate the Pixels.
Yeah, because sometimes they had to do with the competition or like the theme of the season in some ways. And then there were just some that are just truly random. Like they just like, you know, went into the costume bin and were like, oh, we have like this weird thing here. Let's just throw them in this. Like, you know, the props guy took the week off and didn't have something prepared. When it has a point.
I am so confused here because I'm reading on the Big Brother 18 page like how this came up, and it says as a punishment for landing in quote-unquote mystery land, Category 4 had to wear pixelated costumes for the entire week. What the fuck does that mean?
Was it like a Minecraft competition or something? Like,
what is mystery land? Where does this go?
This was week one, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because remember, there were like the different, so each of the teams like got eliminated, right? Because that's how it ended up with.
Because they rode
Glenn.
The rocket.
Yes.
dirtiness unintended here, but they all 16 people rode the rocket for different lengths of time. Yeah, and I'm reading up here that I remember they had to land, depending on how long they stayed. So the team that was eliminated first landed in Knotburg and were have-nots for the week. Mm. The second team went to Mystery Land. The third team went to Cash City and got given $10,000 to split. And the last team went to Safeville.
Really creative names.
So stupid.
Yeah.
No wonder this all got collectively wiped from our memories. Who did they get to come up with these city names?
I assume Julie.
Sorry, I can't get over Knotburg. That's the dumbest one.
Knotburg.
There have not.
And then Julie's like, not burger. Oh, that sounds good right now. That or a cheesesteak.
It feels like if you're like, well, like, hey, dude, can you loan me some money? Well, you better buy property in Knotburg because that's where you're living. I'm not giving you anything, man.
What a burn, Mike. You got him.
I feel like that's something Enzo would say. Yo, I'm going to find you down in Knotburg, yo.
Yeah, it does feel like Cash City would be like a Dwight Squall track name, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, he owns
that's
Cash
what
City,
we're talking
yo.
About, yo. Cash City, yo.
All right, well, let's move on to our second matchup here and see whether or not who's going to end up in Knotburg and who's moving on to be in Saintville. So we spoke about Casey on Big Brother 22. This is her other big punishment, the health nut itard, which is her dressed up as a peanut with the big barbells, and she had to do a theme song that Mr. Spectacular would tell her to do, versus from the season before, the extreme itard, which Jason, aka Whistlenut, wore. And I believe he also got a prompt where the person over the loudspeaker had to say, like, are you feeling extreme? And he always had to say, like, I'm so extreme. So, Liana, who do you have in this extremely tantalating matchup?
Okay, I'm trying to look it up right now. Yes, okay, so this is a tough one for me because I love the name of the health nut atard as just a name in and of itself. I also love punishment costumes that involve song. I appreciate that very much. However, I think I'm ultimately going to have to give it to Jason here with the extreme atard because this is so fucking stupid. Like, the fact that he's got this big X on his head that then spells TREAM.
Yes, like, Treme printed. Yes. For any David Simon fans, you have Jason's repping Treme on his body.
It's a rejected alliance name from BB20. Salte, Treme.
The helmet was apparently super, super heavy, which is also just dumb. And it reminds me of the Mountain Dew flavor Extreme, which was a Mountain Dew flavor, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give my vote to Extreme-atar.
Yeah, I got to do the same because I totally agree. This thing is garish. We totally did not even talk about the massive fringe that is coming from Jason's arms. Like, he's some sort of like Evel Knievel crossbred with a bunch of highlighters and created this. Like, this is ugly and so doofy in so many ways. Also, are those upside down crosses printed on Jason's arms? What kind of messaging is Big Brother trying to put forward here?
This is the cult.
The Chendom, yes, or whatever we called it.
Chenism.
But yeah, this is it for me. Plus, I don't want to play Samantha semantics, but a peanut is not a nut. It's a legume, so it's technically not a health nut. It's a health legume. Big Brother, look at a dictionary, consult with a farmer. Thank you. Jenny, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I was not a huge whistle nut fan, I was not a whistle health nut, but I think that this one is just so ridiculous. I love the colors of it. It reminds me of, like, 90s wrestlers. Like, it's very like Macho Man Randy Savage or like Ultimate Warrior to me, the bright neon colors. I love, like, there's a picture of him wearing just the helmet in the shower, which is just so ridiculous to me. So just for the pure stupidity, I do like the ones where, like, it's more than just a unitard and, like, it's constricting their body movement a little bit. Like, that's fun to me. So I'll give the peanut that, because it's more of like, it makes her a big lumpy, legume, but it's all about this stupid ass Xtreme with the helmet. It's so great. The
these
tassels
are both good. I do like both of these, especially because of all the things that Casey had to do, although her spinning wheel of death punishment was also pretty fun.
Yeah, I did like particularly the portion where, like, she had to stay in the room that she was in until it stopped spinning.
Yes.
All right, well, let's move on here. Matchup number three, we're going back to Big Brother 13 with the Humilitard. This was worn by Jordan Lloyd. It is a green unitard with a pink tutu that has "I'm with Stupid" printed on it in the same font as "Vote for Pedro." And it's not a dunce cap. It's one of those beanies with the propellers that just says dunce on it, versus the Patriotard from Big Brother 18. Liana has chronicled many times the canon of Zingbot. This is when he was running for office, and in losing the competition, Corey had to wear an American flag unitard with an Uncle Sam hat, and then on two hands, both of his hands were covered with an eagle on one and like a Zingbot stand on the other. Jenny, who are you stumping for between these two?
I mean, being that obnoxiously patriotic is almost akin to a humilitard. That is almost just as humiliating. But I just feel, again, lacking creativity with the patriotic unitard or the patriotard. Is patriotard that is a word, I guess.
Yep.
But I also feel like the humilitard is very stupid.
It literally says "I'm with Stupid."
And like there's some of these punishment costumes that you really get the sense that once they found out who was going to have the punishment, they again go into the tickle trunk, which is only a reference that I think maybe Canadians will get.
It was referenced on Drag Race Canada, actually. So that's the only reason why I know that, Jenny.
Okay. Well, they went into the BB tickle trunk. Which is,
I was
going to
say, tickle trunk
think.
Sounds like after Cody's gas station film next year, tickle trunk's going to be the next one up.
I think that might actually sound more like a film that Polly and Cara Maria are going to make.
No. Where's your $500 when you need it? It's going to Sundance.
It's through Polly's OnlyFans. Let's just say that. this one truly looks like they were like, oh, Jordan. Like, okay, what's something we can do with Jordan? Like, oh, she's a dumb blonde. Like, she always says these stupid things. And they truly just went into the basket and pulled out like a couple of things and did like the glue on, the iron on lettering. It's so cheap looking, very like unimaginative, but I like the little spinny hat, so I'm still gonna choose it.
Yeah, I think like the fact that it's Jordan in this costume just like really makes it,
she sells
which
it.
It solidifies it. Now, the thing I will say about the Corey costume, the Patriotard, is what we, you know, we're talking about like, oh, people getting into fights with costumes. I believe
this is when Paul and Nicole were getting into a fight, and Corey walks in and goes like, my Patriotard week is up, and just starts stripping.
He's like, woo, and they're like yelling at each other, and he's like trying to like grind, like, woo, I'm out of my costume. And they're just like so mad at each other. But I think the problem is that this one gets overshadowed by Polly baking pies and like crying into the pies as he's baking them, and he's like waving the flag. He's crying about his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend
or a butterfly.
So unfortunately, I feel like that was overshadowed. So I'm gonna go with the Humilitard here as well.
I was stumping for the Patriotard. I think I love the obtrusiveness of it, because I think the interesting thing is that Corey, because we'll get to another one that doesn't, that has like hand props, but I love the fact that they covered Corey's hands.
Yes.
So he like couldn't do anything. It's almost like he was like Edward 40 hands, where he like couldn't get to like finish out the week before he could go to the bathroom or something. Plus it did lead to a fantastic moment where, you know, Victor, proving why he was AFP for season 18, did that whole skit with him as the eagle, as the landlord that owed James money, which is like actually pretty damn funny. I think people should just look up the Patriots Hard based clips online if you want some levity this week.
That was a good week of that, of a whatever season, depending on how you feel about it.
I watched last night while I was waiting for drama to go down in the Big Brother house. I watched the compilation of Jose delusion moments, which is truly a thing of beauty. So also, if you want some levity, I would say check that out as well.
Which is impressive to have like a compilation when you were in the house for a week.
And that's literally what the video is called too, which is amazing.
Big Brother 18, you know, it's going to be a long time before they get into it on the blockumentary, but it's one of those seasons that I feel like is going to be interesting on a rewatch one way or the other, where like there is a lot of weird crap that goes on, and there was obviously a very controversial outcome, but especially with the seasons that followed afterwards, probably sans Big Brother 20, I think you could look back at it a lot more favorably than you did at the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, we definitely are at a place in Big Brother history where you're like, you know what? Wasn't so bad. And we're looking back on some of these seasons that we shit on at the time. And we're like, you know what? Should have appreciated what we had, because it gets worse.
All right. Next matchup here. We've got an appearance, two appearances actually, from Big Brother 22 contestants. First up is Enzo with his penguin costume versus one of Nicole's costumes, her first appearance here on the bracket, and certainly not the last, the super safety character costume that she received as part of America's Care Package in the aforementioned Big Brother 18. Liana, which all-star gets your push here?
I mean, this has got to be the penguin for me. I'm not going to lie. This is a pretty easy decision. Of all of Nicole's costumes, I think this one was stupid, not in like a fun way. Whereas Enzo, there's nothing. Look, Enzo is hilarious. Enzo in a penguin costume, even more hilarious. So how do you not go with Enzo? Now, I know obviously that's the thinking about him and not the costume. I think the fact, though, that the penguin is completely shapeless. It ends at the knee. He's got some weird yellow socks on for some reason. It doesn't go all the way down and cover his hands, so he doesn't have complete flippers. And it's got a bow tie. Like, what? All of that just make it so much better.
It's so good. And sometimes the simple ones are the best if the right person is in it. And I just feel like that is the case with the penguin, where he just like almost every picture you can find of Enzo in the penguin suit, he looks unhappy. And it's just like such a cute little like penguin costume. And then you just have like this, pissed off, dude with a stern look on his face. And you can just imagine him walking around being like, I'm a penguin, yo. Like, I'm a penguin this week. What am I supposed to do about it, yo? Like, I'm on an iceberg. You gotta come get me, yo. So I feel like it's gotta be this one for me.
Yeah, this is gonna be a shutout. Well, I do feel like the super safety costume, I think, is one of Nicole's more obnoxious costumes. That it's the bright orange and yellow that I think really draws the eye. And also the fact that she had to wear a traffic cone on her head the entire week definitely deserves some note. But like you said, I do think the model can certainly make or break a costume. I love the fact that, to Liana's point, it's basically like a tunic and that it really cuts off at the knees. Like, it's so awkwardly shaped to his body. What really gets me into the penguin costume are the large, lifeless eyes on the penguin. Liana, you cover the Masked Singer. It's always a weird confusion as to, like, which eyes do I look into when I'm talking to this character? What's the real mouth on the person versus the costume? And I feel a similar thing here with, like, do I look Enzo in the eyes, or do I look the penguin in the eyes? How do I let him know how loyal I am to him?
I love that his knees are exposed too. Like, he's got like the yellow knee socks, but like you said, it's a tunic, and it's like bringing me back to like my Catholic high school days where it's like they had to make sure that the tunic went low enough that it wasn't too risque. We weren't, you know, they weren't ready for
Principal Memphis coming around. Exactly. Being like,
so it's a like, very,
keep the Lord out.
It's a very proper penguin, but just a little bit of knee for some, you know, intrigue.
Well, I think in this picture he's wearing shorts underneath, so you can see the shorts exposed like at the bottom.
It looks so budget.
Oh my god, it looks horrible. I love it.
It's so great. All right,
well, let's move on here. Two more all-stars are matched up here. First, if Enzo was known for the penguin costume to the point that it was put in his intro on BB22, even more so well known is Ian in the dog costume versus Nicole Germitard, which got made into a recurring superhero character. Never forget, she was part of the Revengers in BB19. Jenny, who are you picking here between the dog and the Germitard?
I love Ian. I love Ian so much. He was so adorable in that dog costume. I'm thinking back to so many scenes where, again, you know, serious conversations are happening and he's sitting in the dog costume. It's definitely one of the punishments that I think about, but the Germitard is so iconic to me. The little wiener on a stick that she holds is incredible. The city I live in, has the second largest, Oktoberfest celebration in the world besides Germany.
What?
Yes. Look at that. Yeah. So German culture is like very alive and well. Oktoberfest is a huge thing in Kitchener-Waterloo, Ontario. And so I feel like it would be wrong of me to not pick the Germitard. It's my personal favorite of Nicole's many punishment costumes. And I have to, you know, if it's the one I like of hers the most, I feel like I have to pick it. I feel like maybe the dog is still going to win, but for me, it's the Germitard.
So, you know, I'm looking through some of these other punishments and, you know, the clownitard makes sense. We're going to make somebody look like a clown. The humilitard makes sense. We're going to make somebody look, you know, oh, I'm with stupid. The patriotard sort of makes sense because at least it was related to the challenge that week. Safety one also. What? Germitard? Who was like, you know what culture we need to put into a unitard? That's right. Yes, we have this hot dog on a stick, a brat on a stick. Let's go with that, a stein, and make Nicole carry it around. Like, this is when we're talking about, oh, the costume guy just, like, wasn't prepared for the week and just found a random costume and went with it. That is the Germitard for me. Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, like, was it a particular challenge, like competition?
I think that it was like a beer stein. I want to say that it might have actually been like an Oktoberfest themed.
Yeah, so it was a kicking the soccer ball. It was similar to actually this week. It was the Yankee swap, and the only similar theming was that Zach won a German vacation and Nicole got the Germitard.
Okay, right. So, okay, Trivago called them up and was like, look, I got a vacation for you to Germany. What should the punishment in relation to that be? Okay, that makes sense.
It's the little sausage on the little stick is just everything.
Well, listen, as someone who has experienced apparently the second most prolific Oktoberfest in the world, is that a thing? Or this seems more campfire to me. This seems more like when Alex Au had to make the wieners during Big Brother 19, and like, oh, when I think German, I think a small fork with a wiener on it.
I will say that, so I haven't really attended much of the October festivities here since I moved here about 5 years ago, but people take it very seriously, and they buy the, I forget the name of the outfit,
Lederhosen.
But it's Lederhosen. Pretty, yeah, the Lederhosen. There's like a woman version of it that has a different name, I think. Anyway, I don't know.
Lady Hosen.
It's Lady Olsen, yes, exactly. It's very true to like what you see at these celebrations. So I felt like it's one of the ones where they put more effort into it. And I'm really envisioning this, like, wiener on a stick is maybe what Alison Grodner has in the diary room to poke people with when they're taking too long to vote.
Repurposed it.
Yeah.
Well, so all of this discussion aside, though, I think I still have to go with Ian's, especially because of the punishment that went along with it, with him like out in the backyard and the doghouse and all of that stuff. And, you know, the confessionals that came along with it, with Boogie, with Ian and Frank. So I'm going to go with Ian here.
Yeah, listen, I'm a dog person. I'm going to go with Ian here. And it's also, I mean, again, if you're talking about like the model for it, because Ian was sort of like the house pet at this point, right? Like the way people were regarding him was a little bit like, okay, we'll let Ian in. He's part of the family, even though like, he's not really like we treat him with love, but really he doesn't really understand stuff like the rest that we do. And in this case, it's a season where the dog ends up winning. I guess the pets rule over all in this household. So I'm going to give it to Ian here. And I'm a little...
I think it's, yeah, the right choice. I just had to stump for the Germitard a bit.
So unfortunately, we will say 9 to the Germitard as it gets eliminated here.
Oh, boy.
Next matchup. So we have one from this past season, Janelle's first and only costume, I suppose, in Big Brother history, the all-star mascot costume she had to wear in week one, versus a favorite of Liana's, one she often cites, Cody Calafiore's dinosaur costume that he had to wear for 2 weeks straight in Big Brother 16. Liana, I can imagine which one you're going with here.
Oh, I do love the dinosaur so much. It's so dumb. And like now looking at the picture, Mike, that you've pulled, it's like, the dinosaur looks like it smoked a doobie. Like its eyes like half closed. Its teeth are like folded up and folded down. I think the fact that he had to wear it for 2 weeks also just like adds it for me. I think Janelle is obviously iconic and her in a star costume is very fitting. I like the fact that the star costume lights up. I like that she wore it with her Louboutins. I think all of that is lovely. But there's just, you know, something about the dinosaur costume really does it for me.
I feel very much the same. Again, some of the basic animal ones, you know, can be really funny just based on who's in it. I felt like Cody was a really good sport in the dinosaur. You're absolutely right about the doobie eyes. I liked it had like a giant head and it had the little like talons. I don't know.
I'm assuming they do.
Do dinosaurs have talons? Do the dinosaurs have large talons?
It's our second Napoleon Dynamite reference this episode.
Yeah, who knew? Who knew? But the star one, again, I have been talking about this throughout, that I love the ones that restrict movement. Mm-hmm. And that star, like, looked so annoying. Like, Janelle was knocking things over in it. The way that I love that it had lights. She paired it with the Louboutins. So I think I'm gonna go with, you know, it's the only time we ever will get to see Janelle in a costume. So I'm going to go with the all-star.
This is tough. Because I think that what I like a lot of stuff about Janelle's costume. I like the fact that because it's the top point of the star, it looks like a wizard's hat, essentially, that she has to wear, sort of a take on the safety, super safety cone. I love the fact that there is a face on it that looks very dead and almost looks like an emoji icon. Like, it's very clear that was screen printed on. But God, I love how grody that dinosaur looks.
It does look really
like,
gross.
Like, if you're looking at the picture, like, half its teeth are turned up, snaggletooth style. All of its spikes on its back are, like, flopping in the wind. As you talked about the half-closed eye, and even, like, the talons, quote-unquote, it's just Cody, like, making a fist and putting the fabric over it. It's not even conducive to doing that. And God, I really appreciate that. Also for the fact that because it's such a janky costume, it made it even funnier that because of the rewind week, mm-hmm. Cody had to get specifically back in this costume. Like, if it was the Germitard for another week, I think we make nothing of it, but it's like, okay, Cody, get back into this dirty potato sack of a dinosaur costume and live this out for another 7 days. That makes it hit even more for me. So I think the dinosaur is not going to go extinct this round.
I think that's very fair. It truly does look like it was at the bottom of the tickle trunk and was like, they didn't even bother to steam it for him. Like, they just pulled it out 3 seconds before he got into the diary room, and it smelled like a basement, the BB basement, oh, possibly.
No. All right, let's move on here. And we are going to the Alpha and the Omega, the first and most recent costumes that we've had, starting with the infamous red unitard that has been seen in Big Brother 8, 9, and 10, and the slopitard, aka the sloppies box that Nicole has been wearing the past week. Liana, where do you fall on this? Old school versus new school.
I know this is such a classic matchup, especially given the conversations this season. I am a huge fan of the sloppies box. It is so dumb for so many different reasons, because she can like retract herself into her big box
like a turtle.
It doesn't fit right. Why the sloppies? Like, that's is that so a Matt gross. Klein's reference? It's a stupid name. They've been calling her sloppies. Like, instead of calling her Nicole, it'll be like, so did you, did you go outside today, sloppy? Like, that to me is also hilarious. It literally says on the box, they're gross, which is, someone was so proud of coming up with that. It's just, and I know there's like recency bias. Like, I'm sure that's a reason why I love it as well. Now, all of that being said, the red unitard, it's classic. Mm. You know, it like, it's something, it was the very first punishment costume. You have Michelle Costas, because doesn't she win HOH or something?
Because they do the Yankee swap that previous week, and that's how she gets the unitard. I got the freaking unitard. And then she ends up winning HOH. I think that was when Jesse got evicted. She ends up winning HOH in that.
And I have this like very like vivid memory of her in the red unitard, like screaming into the mirror/camera when she's like got the key, which is absolutely fabulous. So this one is a super, super tough matchup, because it's almost like my new fling with my old love.
Mm.
I think ultimately here, I'm going to have to go just for the classicness of it all. I think I have to go with the red unitard, but it's a close one for me.
I'm going to put in a vote for sloppies here, because I do agree, like, I think this entire game, we have Jen Johnson to thank, because she mm-hmm. got the red unitard and she fell in love with it. She was the one to really, like, she used it to accessorize. She turned it into a dress. Like, she made a million gallons of lemonade out of one red lemon that was given to her. And so, really, she has this whole, we have these trends to thank her for that. She really is the godmother in that perspective. But God, the sloppies box has so many questionable decisions. It's so fantastic. Like, why is the text made like it's in Microsoft Word on sloppies? Why are there nutrition facts on the box back? What do they say? Why is there a blonde wig? Attached to the costume? Is it?
It's like she can't even put her own hair out of it if she wanted
for a second
to.
I'm like, oh wow, I guess that's Nicole's hair. But no, for some reason, there's like a Motley Crue style wig sewn to the costume that I think they ended up braiding after a while with ringlets. Yeah. Like, this costume truly stands out, and I think is the microcosm of how ridiculous these things can get. And so I really do love the red unitard, and this might be an upset from my perspective, but I will personally vote for sloppies and leave it up to Jenny.
I don't like making decisions, and I don't appreciate the position I've been put into at this time, because I feel much like Liana in that, like, you know, this is the new hotness. And it's really hard, because this, again, embodies everything I love about the punishment, the sloppies, where it's like, look how big it is. Like, she becomes like 4 times wider as a human because of this box. I love that, like, her arms go out of it, and like she can have her, like, she can sort of do things with her arms, but she's got these secondary arms coming out of it, like this weird sort of like orange octopus. The blonde wig looks so So shitty. It came from Party City for sure. And they just kind of like, you know, glued it in. It doesn't look even. It needs like a haircut. It's just so trash looking. And I love trash. But the red unitard is so iconic. Like, it just feels wrong to vote it out in the first round. And as much as I really just don't like this matchup because I think that I'm seeing that none of Nicole's are going forward, which is kind of funny because she's the one that has had the most punishments in her time. And but I got to go with the iconic red unitard. I hope that someday they'll maybe just bring it back. You'd think that maybe this would be the season. It's like an all-star season that they're like, you know what? We're bringing back a classic, just the red unitard. I don't think it necessarily plays as well anymore just because they've gotten more and more ridiculous exactly. as the seasons have gone on. I don't know. I think I it would just feel wrong to have the red unitard and all of the moments we got from the three seasons that it was used. Yeah, eliminated in the first round. So I'm going to give it to the red unitard.
Right. So Legacy pushes it through to the second round. Final matchup here on the first round. We have the BB Explorer costume, a.k.a. Tommy's rocket costume. He is flying at the speed and the smell of sound from Big Brother 21 versus the Wax Street Boys, the punishment that Jason Roy, Johnny Mack, and Liz Nolan, I'm pretty sure, because I think it was just Liz at that point, and not Julia, received in BB17. I'll start here. This is another tough one. I think Tommy really made this with his energy and just, like, the punishment. This has to be by far the stupidest punishment coming from a costume. Like, as much as we bash on Jason's extreme stuff, the fact that Tommy had to flash lights and spray stink bombs around the house is so incredibly stupid. I want to just put it in my pocket and kiss it. But the Wax Street Boys were so entertaining. I think the three of them really sold it. I love the disparity in outfits, like Johnny Mac having to wear the tank top with the fedora and Liz with the Enzo-esque sideways turned cap. Like, I love the all white ensemble there. And I'm a kid of the 90s, so I'm going to put in a vote here for the Wax Street Boys. Jenny, what about you?
So I actually call the Tommy the Tommy punishment the rocket cock because
the red
that
rocket.
Hat is that hat be looking like a penis head. I don't know about you guys, but I agree with what Mike said. It was so obnoxious. Tommy was already someone that like was sometimes just too much and a little annoying. And the fact that like they had him doing the most like just disruptive in every single way, you know, actions along with the costume itself really did make it a memorable one and truly one of the worst ones. And you could, like, he had a lot of fun. He really embraced it. I do love, I want one or the two. Like, I want someone who really, really embraces it and has fun with it, or I want the person that is absolutely miserable
like,
in
like
it
the Enzo
and
with the
it just exactly. And the chain smoking banana, Casey, like anytime someone is just like, it's the right person to be in it. And I feel like that was really the case here, but the Wax Street Boys encompasses another one of my favorite things about, how BB does these punishments where it's like, they're always using like some sort of cultural reference that is just like so outdated.
You think
like,
Julie Chen came always up with this one?
Yeah, she's like, have you guys ever heard of the Backstreet Boy? Like, those boy bands are really hot right now in, like, 2014 or 15 or whatever year that was. What is time anymore, truly? But, so I also love when there's like a creative thing that they have to do with it besides just wear it. Obviously, you know, Tommy had to do all of his running around and stink bombs and light and sound. But I really love that they had to like do the choreography and the singing. And, I also am a child of the 90s. So, I'm actually gonna give it to the Wax Street Boys as well.
So I think because of the absurdity of it all, of Tommy's really incredibly stupid punishment costume, I would ultimately give it to him. But this is a really tough matchup. And I agree. I'm happy that the Wax Street Boys is moving forward. But just the fact that Tommy ran around, "I'm coming at you from the speed of smell," and then he would like spray the smelly stuff.
And I totally forgot joy. After I came up with this, when Tommy and Christy, "We had poison ivy."
I also love when there's a punishment that is a punishment for the rest of the house as well.
Like, they have to deal with like it. That.
Yeah, that's great. When they're being woken up by the person having the punishment, that's perfect. So that is a good thing about the speed
there's also
of sound,
something weird so. About the proportions on his costume. Like, I understand they're trying to make it a rocket, but like that means that the little part where the rocket flares out at the bottom is like lower than where like a normal skirt would be.
Right.
So it looks like he's got these protrusions just like coming out of his lower abdomen, which are the rocket like flare things. Oh, this whole thing is so bad. It's so ugly. I love it.
And I just love the hat. Like this and yeah. The Extrematard have the best headgears, which means the worst headgears. All right. Round two, and we could go through these a little more rapid fire since now we know the costumes. The Pixels versus the Extrematard. I personally am voting for the Extrematard here, Liana.
Yeah, it's an easy one for me. I like the Pixels, but I'm not a huge fan of them, so gotta go Extrematard here.
It's a sweep. I also gotta give it to the Extrematard.
All right, extreme sweep. Put on some clothes, Polly. This isn't OnlyFans. The Pixels are donezo. Jenny, the Humilitard versus the Penguin. Who do you got? The worst Batman villains ever.
It's the Penguin for me. I gotta go with the Penguin on this one. The Humilitard was kind of, it was like slightly edged out to the Patriotard for me, but the Penguin was a strong choice for me. So it makes sense for me.
Yeah, this one is tough because it's also about the people who are in the costume.
Right.
But I ultimately, especially going through our thorough evaluation of the Penguin costume, the tunic of it all, I think I'm going to go with the Penguin here as well.
Yeah, let's make another unanimous vote here. It seems like the top half, I think, is a bit less contentious than the bottom half here. We're going to get to an interesting one here. Animal Showdown, dog versus dinosaur, Liana.
I do love the dinosaur costume. I love the fact that he had to be in it for 2 weeks, but there's so much more, I think, that comes out of Ian in the dog costume that we've already highlighted, that it edges out the dog. Apparently, the dinosaurs did go extinct. Gotta give it to the Ian dog punishment.
What do you think, Jenny?
I agree. I will choose the dog. Just like Liana said, the fact that it had a lot more of an interactive component.
Yeah, I totally
to
forgot
it.
About the doghouse before you mentioned it, Liana. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's just one of the ones that always pops into my head when I think about the punishments. Whereas sometimes I forget about the dinosaur. So I think for me that it has to be the
All
dog.
Right, dog, you are top dog, or at least edging to be so and beating the dinosaur here. Final matchup of round two. The Red Unitard versus the Wax Street Boys. And I'm sorry, I'm going to go with the Wax Street Boys here. As classic as the Red Unitard is, to Jenny's point, there's something about the performative aspect of it that really makes me happy, even when it's done at the most inconvenient times. So I'm the musical lover in me is going to have the Wax Street Boys taking it. But Liana, what do you think?
I'm looking at the bracket, and I gotta be honest here, guys. I think whoever wins this matchup is gonna lose to the dog. Like, not to spoil what my next round is gonna be, I just feel like the dog costume is so iconic, even though, you know, we're talking about the Red Unitard, which is the first of its kind. I could go either way. I mean, I wasn't, you know, the Wax Street Boys wasn't one that I picked, so I think I'm gonna go with the Red Unitard here. But again, like I said, I think dog is gonna ultimately win the next matchup.
I really was hoping that, Mike, you were going to go to me next because I wanted to force Liana to make the decision because I am absolutely crippled by decisions. And here I am again. I do think I agree with Liana in that I think that we're setting up something to lose later. So, you know, as much as I'm feeling like the Red Unitard is the original, it's iconic, it's just what the punishment costume has become is just so much more than this is. And so it's just, I almost feel like I needed to give it its due by making sure it, you know, went through, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I want it to win just because it's the original. I don't feel like that's the exercise we're really looking for here. So, people are maybe going to be unhappy about this, but I think I will give it to the Wax Street Boys.
Right now, I think we could just do the semifinals matchup. We'll just vote the dog through over the Wax Street Boys, right?
But I think so, yeah.
Wax Street's whack. All right.
Last song for the Wax Street Boys as the dog advances to the finals. But who will the dog be up against? Here's our other semifinals matchup. The Extremitard versus the Penguin. Jenny, I'll let you go first, so I'm not going to make you any more crippled by decision-making this game.
Thank God. Oh, this has been stressful. I need to get on a banana suit and go chain smoke outside. I gotta go with the Penguin. I don't know what you guys are gonna do. I think the Extremitard is great. It is so ridiculous. But I love the Penguin so much.
This is tough. This is really tough. I think because also, like, I have a particular affinity for the Extremitard because I think that it's so dumb.
Yeah.
And like the fact that Whistlenut was the one to wear it, just like freaking A, man. The crosses, the Chenism crosses, and the evil Knievel, like just a whole nonsense of it all. But to especially have Enzo back, like in the house, being his bizarre self, just adds like my love for the Penguin costume. Oh, crap. All right, Mike, you're going to have to break the tie. I'm going Extremitard here.
Good play, Liana. That's what I would have done.
And
too.
I'm going to go Extremitard as well. Look, worship dumb here on the B&B.
Yes.
We genuflect to that altar. And this has to be, without a doubt, the dumbest punishment costume in Big Brother history. Now, that being said, with it being up against the dog, we can certainly, you know, litigate that. I think there is a case to be made there. But I mean, it's sort of like, you know, the reason why I discarded the banana in the first place is like, I love the fit or lack thereof on the Penguin. I love the person inside the Penguin costume, but I feel like the Extremitard has so much more stuff going on, each of which provides a decision tree as to why exactly a choice was made to produce that aesthetic choice, that it just, that can, you can have a whole seminar about that. You could have a PowerPoint presentation about the Penguin. And so for its infinitely more fascinating value over memorability, I went with the Extremitard. And it also, it's a bit of old school, new school here now, right? Because now we have the dog versus the Extremitard.
And I agree with this decision, and I want to say that I had a feeling that between the two of you, the Extremitard was going to go forward anyway.
Let's put this straight. Like, I would love to make a sort of like a costume, you know, display case and put the Extremitard in it at the B&B, because this feels right up our alley.
Yes, and it makes sense. And I actually, I know this sounds very backwards, but I actually do think that it should win against the Penguin here, because based on the rest of the bracket, because I don't think that I want the final decision to be between the Penguin and the dog. Too similar. They're, you know what I mean? It seems like a layup for the dog in that situation, where I think that this gives us the most interesting final matchup of the Extremitard versus the dog. So it was all part of my master plan.
Such a Machiavellian, Jenny.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, you said your logic was backwards. I'm sorry, you mean whackwards.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk this over. This is it. This is how we're going to determine the winner of this bracket, the Extremitard versus the dog. I will admit, for me at least, I think the dog is going to have its day here, because I do think, like, I think the costumes almost cancel each other out, where you turn to, like, the other activities affiliated with it. And as funny as it was to have Jason do like the I'm extreme thing between the doghouse, between Ian having to eat his food out of a dish, like there was so much commitment to the dog bit, and that, like, it really earns a lot of love in my opinion. And it does also feel like probably the most memorable costume, at least like makes the Mount Rushmore, right, when you think about costumes and over the course of BB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, okay, look, there's a lot of different criteria that you can grade these different costumes based on. And if I'm picking the Mount Rushmore for the B&B, it's the Extremitard, the Rocket, Sloppies, probably
the dinosaur, maybe.
The dinosaur, maybe. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Like, I don't know. What is literally the most absurd of all the costumes? It's just it's a still of Corey doing a striptease while Nicole and Polly are fighting. Like that, you know, that's what it is. But if I, in true faith of Big Brother, I think I also have to agree with the dog costume in looking through all of these, because it's one that people continue to reference. You know, now it's old school Big Brother, I guess, and people still talk about it. The commitment, everything that went on with it, Ian sleeping outside, like there's just so much going in the dog's favor. So I'm going with the dog here.
It's gotta be the dog. I love that it's like cheap, but like, without actually being like an actual cheap costume. Like it was so well executed. Like it's like a vest, like an ill-fitting vest on top of like a brown t-shirt. But I love that he has like the little name tag with that says Ian on it. Mm-hmm. It's just the little floppy ears. It's so adorable with baby-faced Ian. And like we've already outlined, the, you know, extra levels of the punishment with the bowl and the doghouse. Yeah, I think the dog being the winner, it feels very good.
Don't forget about Mike Boogie holding a leash as well.
Exactly.
Which has a very different context in 2020.
Oh my God.
So congratulations to Ian and the dog. You have officially been deemed the greatest costume in Big Brother history so far. But I say well fought by all competitors. Everyone was truly flying at the speed of smell over the course of this bracket.
I'm sure that some of these costumes are flying at the speed of smell because they are just stanking up the tickle trunk.
Just oh, gosh. Who came up with the rocket punishment? Like, were they smoking with Julie before they came up with it? Because, like,
I'm trying to remember.
So
I think this was, I think that was the week when they did the rocket veto, right? Because that's when Jackson did the alien abduction, and that's when mm-hmm. Jack got harassed by Big Dick Johnson in the alien costume.
Yep.
Yes.
So funny. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, you know, this has been a long one, but I've got one last thing for us to talk about. Maybe speaking of smells. So we are going to play a really quick game of a game we like to play here on the B&B. The price is Raven.
I think that's what we came up with.
Is that what we came up with? Okay, because we play the Price is Rourke over on the Survivor B&B. This is obviously a play off of the Price is Right, where we pick an icon of the game to name this version after. So the price is Raven. This was an idea floated to us by the great John. And so we're going to play this game for one item, and that is bidets. So if you want to follow along, you can go to bit.ly/bidet battle, all lowercase, bidet battle. We are about to have a bidet battle here today. All right.
I'm pumped.
So, oh my goodness. Now,
I'm pumped like water.
Yeah,
water
does the price get marked out at all if Enzo ends up spraying it all over the bathroom because he couldn't turn the because it spooked him.
There's no need for the butt tissue as much
no
was
Zankies
discussing
needed.
Earlier. No Zankies needed. We got bidets for days.
No Zankies needed. What a sentence I never thought I would say. All right. So like I said, if you want to follow along, you can go to bit.ly/bidet battle. And I actually have called this bonus bidet battle because I really wanted to go for the B&B alliteration. All right. So we're going to go ahead and start things off with Jenny here. So, Jenny, the rules are, of course, the closest without going over. So the very first bidet that you're going to have to guess the price of is called In My Bathroom Butt Buddy Fresh Water Bidet Toilet Attachment, and in parentheses, easy to install, self-cleaning, and non-electric.
I think they really, I would be honest, I know it's weird sentence structure, I feel like they had to put in my bathroom there for legality reasons, because how much you want to bet it just called itself Butt Buddy, and a certain class of clientele ordered it by the droves, only to find out it was a bidet.
You misspoke. You said instead of in my bathroom, in my butt.
Yeah, I heard that too. In my butt.
No, I did not misspeak. It is not called in my butt.
My book. Can we talk about the I'm looking at the attachment and it has its, so we've got the In My Bathroom logo, which is a tub, I think, with some bubbles in it. But the Butt Buddy logo itself is just,
it's a butt.
It's a butt with two dots above the, like, it's like, am I seeing this right?
There's do you guys not have two dots above your butt?
It's like your butt dimples.
I have two freckles like on my lower back. Uh-oh. And so I think this is actually my butt.
You're the model.
You're the model for In My Bathroom Butt Buddy.
In my butt.
Surprise.
Also colloquially known as In My Butt.
Yep. In my butt. Oh boy. Okay, so I am guessing the price of this fine product.
That is correct.
I will be honest, I've never shopped for a bidet before. It's been top of mind lately. I hear great things. I have no idea what they go for. I feel like these sort of attachments, though, as opposed to like the full toilet situation, are maybe a little bit cheaper. I'm gonna go, but I still feel like they're seen as kind of bougie, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's not necessarily like very, very common in North America. At least I don't think it is. So I feel like my perception of it is that it's like a bougier thing. But I think I'm going to say that this is $126.
What? Okay. So, Jenny,
I have no idea what I'm doing.
$126. Mike, you had you had feelings about this.
This is like a piece of plastic that you attach to the toilet seat. Like, I definitely think it's under $126. Because I'm trying to think about like the method of installation, because it almost looks like one of those like overhead sprinklers you see in office buildings, of like you just put that in your toilet seat. So I don't think it's really directionally aimed. Clearly this is not going for quality necessarily, and more so like, hey, you want your butt wet? Well, this will take care of it somewhat for you. I'm gonna go with $50 for In My Bathroom Butt Buddy.
You want your butt wet, Mike? because you were closer, yes. Unfortunately, you were both over, though. The Butt Buddy only goes for $44.95 for one easy payment.
Wow.
It can be yours.
I'm gonna have to cop that. That's in my price range.
I think you could get something with the company of like, listen, you used my IP in the form of my butt for your symbol. Please ship me a free Butt Buddy.
It's not IP, it's IP. Quite possibly the worst thing I've ever said on a podcast.
Pull the clip, everyone. Pull the clip.
Pull the clip. That's amazing. End it right there.
Okay, so I have to wait.
And Mike saying in my butt or whatever you said. So
yeah, that's getting clipped too.
I, on the other hand, was a man whore.
In my butt.
In my butt.
I had no idea what these go for, so this, I feel a lot more equipped, like one might equip a butt buddy to their toilet, to answer the rest of these, because you could have told me that was like $800 and I would have been like, sure. Cool, like I truly don't know. I would be terrible on the real prices, right? Yeah.
I'm also thinking for In My Butt, you know, in bed, right? For the fortune cookies, like blah, 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 in bed, like blah, 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 in my butt. I don't know. Does that make sense?
No. I think so. We'll see.
There's something there.
Sure. All right. Let's move on to the next one. So, Mike, you're going to be giving the price for this one first. So, we are looking at the Genie Bidet. Elongated.
Oh boy.
Don't know what that means.
It says color elongated. How is that a color?
I don't know. But this is the seat self-cleaning dual nozzles, rear and feminine cleaning, no wiring required, simple 20 to 45 minute installation or less. Hybrid tea with on-off included. Also, it includes a travel bidet.
Oh, see, that's an interesting point, because I feel like essentially if you're getting two bidets for the price in one, that's going to change the price point. I am a little weirded out that this is the name of it, considering it is just a literal description of it. I think the company may have messed up. And so that also makes me wonder how on the up and up is this company if they made that the name of their product. You know, this feels like a bit more of a difficult installation than the Butt Buddy. It seems like you're hooking it up to like the water source, as well as hooking it up to the actual seat itself. Plus, it does cover multiple holes, as it indicated there. So I guess its stream is a bit more directional. I am going to go with, you know what? It wouldn't be in the of the B&B if I didn't say $69 for the Genie Bidet. I guess it's called the Genie Bidet because the elongation looks like a hookah, kind of.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Like a, you know, like coming into like a, like smoking some hookah. Smoking, you know, with the kids.
You
they
mean,
smoke
like,
their
hookah. It's a hose?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. The hose, the elongation.
Yeah, okay, Mike.
Well, I have a question. What the fuck is hybrid tea?
I have no idea. But with
like, don't worry, it's not a completely gas powered bidet. It's a hybrid.
This is coal powered. We phased out the coal powered ones.
Yeah, it's
a
run
long
entirely
time
on
ago.
Ethanol.
Yeah, thanks, EPA.
I truly feel like they're just throwing in like confusing buzzwords with this, because I don't know what hybrid tea is, but it's on and off. You can turn the hybrid tea on and off, apparently. Okay. This is clearly more expensive than the last one. I will go with, I think it's more than $69. I think it's going to be, let's go with the year I was born, $86.
Good year, good
All
year.
All right. So solid logic, Jenny, because yes, you are closer. This retails for $108
wow.
and 99 cents.
Wow. I almost said 126 again.
Just stick with the number.
No.
What did Julie Chen say? If at first you don't succeed. Slow and slow and slowly and surely. In my butt.
I need a cheesesteak. Or maybe after the cheesesteak, she'll need a bidet. Okay, so I think Jenny is technically winning because you both went over on the first one. But we got another bidet
Wait,
to
do,
talk
I don't
about.
Get a point for go for getting
it
closer
was
going over?
It closest to the outgoing over.
So nobody gets a point? That's what happens on the prizes, right? They say, let's nix this question and move on to the next one?
No one gets a point.
Yeah, because if you go over in the in the showcase showdown, don't neither of them win?
See?
I don't know. That's a weird way. That's
I
a
think
weird
that's how it works.
Well, you, neither of you win. Back, no vote for
Spay
you.
Spay your pets. We'll save the prizes for next week.
All right. Well, maybe this will be a prize one day that you could win the freshwater non-electric adjustable angle bidet toilet attachment.
This thing scares me.
So
and that's got some range.
It's got some water pressure on it.
Yeah.
Okay. I unfortunately, to those of you listening to the audio only, I picked this because of the picture. So again, you can check this out at bit.ly/bidet battle because there's a picture of a toilet with the attachment on it, but water is aggressively shooting out from the fresh water non-electric
to
adjustable
the point
angle
where I'm
bidet
pretty
toilet
sure if you
attachment.
Sat on it, like water would come spraying out of your mouth. That's how powerful this thing is. It goes all the like, way up and out.
I know
I'm picturing like a whale with its like little blow hole thing just erupting. I don't know, that's a terrible
well, no I mean I like no I like I can see it, and I know that this is a still image, so we have no sense of speed or smell from this, but it just looks like it's like the water
the
just
the smell.
God.
Oh, I want a Brocco bidet, personally.
I don't think that this is, like, you know, the kind of area that you really want, like, the air pressure to be shooting
I don't
that aggressively.
I don't want to super soaker up my butt.
Yeah. And it's also, I feel like, you know, one wrong move and this is spraying toilet water all over the
dumpers. A bunch of wet Zankies.
I think it cleans out the Zankies.
Oh boy. Right, so okay, am I guessing?
Yeah, so Jenny, this is to you.
This looks cheaper to me, like, than the last one. But wow, does it have power? adjustable angle, that's good, because, like, you know, you have to be able to adjust it to your size and your, like, angles.
your dimensions. No, I'm
sorry. Yeah, please enter your dimensions so we can angle the spout.
I honestly feel like this pressure is going to send you to another dimension because it looks super strong. I think that this one looks like it's between the two that we've looked at already. So I'll go for the $69 this time. $69.
$69. All right, Mike, what do you got?
So I want to cut Jenny off here and on choke her off on one way or the other here.
Violent sounding.
That's Price is Right rules. They get brawly.
He's going to cut me off and then choke me?
Gosh. Oh, boy. Taking advice from other problematic people in BB Pass. I think it's a toilet attachment. So I agree that I don't think it's the $108 that the last one is because it doesn't require as much installation. It seems to be really separate from the toilet. But the fact that it's an adjustable angle means it's not the fire sprinkler that the Butt Buddy was. So I feel like it has to be over that as well. The question is by how much. I'm going to cut Jenny off at the over, and I'm going to go with
$70. $70. Okay, so, again, no winner here because you both were over on the price.
No.
This one is selling for, now you can buy multiple, all right? So we're just going to go for the price if you buy one. And it is only $23.99.
That is a steal.
Wow.
It is a steal, yes. And you can
If it didn't look so violent, yeah, I would get myself
$23 for less than like a hardcover book. You can buy a bidet that will demolish your butthole.
Thank you, Mike Bloom. Yes. If you want to buy four or more, so get a couple for your friends, they're only $21.59. So save a couple of bucks.
Wait,
there.
What? So if you buy four more, you get 21? What?
Yeah, four or more. They're $21.59.
I assume that maybe you can put them in multiple toilets in your home.
That's true.
But I love the idea of, like, you know, like bidets for your friends as like Secret Santa gifts or like, you know, stocking.
I personally want a bidet pyramid scheme where it's like, oh, it'll cost this much if you're able to pawn these off onto your friends.
Bidet MLM.
It's an MLM. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's what Nicole is going to have to peddle after this because she's lost all of her sponsorships. So she's going to be joining the bidet MLM.
I'm here to tell you about Butt Buddy.
Butt Buddy.
Oh my gosh, guys.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Mother freakers. All right. The last bidet we have to talk about is the Bio Bidet Bliss Electric Bidet Seat for Elongated Toilets in White.
Okay, so I guess the elongation refers to toilets. I wasn't sure that, like, toilets had, like, a big and tall variety where you could get, like, super tall toilet seats. Is that a thing?
Well, I've definitely...
It's a good idea.
Although, you know what? I've seen, like, the toilet seats that are really small and round. You know the ones I'm talking about? Like, some of them are really small. No?
I don't know. Liana, do you know gnomes or hobbits? Where are you seeing these?
Well, they have those, like, the squatty potty where it, like, elevates your legs.
Right.
But also, there are some toilets that are just a little bit taller. But, like, what is elongated? It's going to come out more from the base, like, for... Like a big, like if you got a bedonk or something, I don't understand what the point of the elongated.
Okay, let's see. Toilet types. Types of toilets.
Where are we right now?
Ooh, types of toilets.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Sorry. No.
You shouldn't have Googled types of toilets.
No. So this is just like the types of toilets. the types of toilets are like, there's nothing really to illuminate. Like, one's a square toilet. They do have elongated toilets on here, but the toilet types were one piece toilet, two piece toilet, up flush toilet, compact toilet. And it just reminded me of Julie Chen doing her Dr. Seuss of just like red fish, blue fish, like one fish, two fish, red toilet, blue toilet,
oh,
one
my
piece,
gosh.
Two piece toilet.
All right. So we have no idea what an elongated toilet is, but perhaps it's used with a one piece toilet or a two piece toilet or whatever.
Okay.
I feel like that could be dangerous though, because it's like, if you don't have the coverage on this particular seat, aren't you asking for, again, like water ending up all over the place?
Maybe,
like,
that's the problem. It wasn't Enzo leaping up. It was that they got an elongated toilet seat for a regular one.
Yeah, and he had a gap maybe there that just didn't cover.
Okay,
I don't know.
They have elongated toilets and round bowl toilets.
Ah.
Now, round bowl toilets, aside from its cute shape,
okay,
apparently
someone's really someone's editorializing in their writing.
Yeah,
it is advisable that you only choose this type of toilet when necessary because of the difference of its length. So the elongated toilet seat is believed the shape that fits your butt the best. So
interesting. All right. Well,
I've learned so much
from that
today.
Perspective, I guess, is the 1% buying the elongated toilets. You know, like, the rest of us jamokes can only afford the round seats. So from that perspective, if this is a classy type of thing, this might mark the price up, because I guess I'm determining the price here. So this is electric, and it comes with a remote, apparently. I feel like that has to knock it up a couple notches, right, in terms of the price point. Because it's not manual, it's not even something operated by a dial. If the second one, which involves just a bit of installation, and, you know, this doesn't include the travel bidet or the hybrid T or the dual nozzles, but this does include, I think, something a bit more high tech. I am going to go with a cool, refreshing $125, just below Jenny's initial guess of $126 for the Bliss electric bidet.
All right, Jenny, what do you got?
I think it's more expensive.
Oh.
So this looks by far the most high tech of the bidets we've seen so far. Like Mike said, it's got a remote. I feel like anytime there's a remote involved, there's more going on. This is fancy. With the little LED screen on it and everything, it's not even like a basic remote. I feel like this bidet speaks for itself. Like, it doesn't even have, like, you know, it doesn't even say much, but it looks impressive. And I think that we might be onto something, that the 1% is going for this. So I'm going to be strategic. I don't want to go over either, so I will go with my original guess of 126, but I think that it is actually much more
choking.
Expensive
you're
than 126.
Me, stop choking and cutting
yeah,
me.
Yeah, well, you tried to choke me first, so I'm choking back.
All right.
So I'm 126 final answer.
Okay, so Jenny, you're locking in 126. So yes, you are correct. You are closer to the price of this bidet. This bidet retails at $699.
I was gonna
guess 400, but I got scared.
My favorite part of this is you can finance this bidet for 6 months, paying $117 a month for 6 months. If you are so inclined,
you better hope you're like pooping 117 times a month, because then it practically pays for itself.
Yeah, this was incredibly expensive. If you'd like to purchase it, I believe you can get it from Home Depot.
My goodness. Wow, we learned so much about toilets today. I feel much more educated.
Yeah, we really did.
I went from knowing nothing about how they're priced to feeling like I'm actually, like, if there were, you know, more rounds of this, I feel like I might
more
have
more rounds
it,
or more but... elongations.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone is interested, check out fleshguide.com, which is what I'm reading right now.
Flesh Guide, the official sponsor of the B&B.
That's right. They do have accessories, which includes a squatty potty and toilet seats. And I feel like Mike Bloom actually wrote this because in the bottom part where it says, which types of toilets are good for you?
Oh, I took my question if I ever go on set for Survivor again.
Yeah. But it says a myriad of factors.
Oh, that's one of my favorite words.
Honestly, guys, I feel like, you know, this is the BBB&B, and we've barely talked about Big Brother at this point. At this point, the BB is actually Butt Buddy B&B, and this is where we've landed, right on this elongated toilet seat.
On that seat. Let's see how wet we get.
Oh my God.
As we finish things off here, we usually, as of late, try to draw some eyes to a cause or a series of causes or charities and to stuff going on outside the Big Brother house. Jenny, as the guest of honor, I'll throw it to you for a second. Is there any particular charity that you would want to plug this particular week?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are so many things. You know, I encourage anyone to Google any sort of like Black Lives Matter, organization in your area. There is one in Canada, out of Toronto. But I figured it would be good for me to also just talk about something that is relevant for me. So I would like to, get a shout out for IAPMD.org, which is the International Association for Premenstrual Disorders. I suffer from PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And it's basically a hormonal disorder, but it's also like mental health. September is suicide prevention month, and they're doing, a drive for support, for suicide prevention for PMDD. This is a, condition that it took me way longer than it needed to diagnose. It took a lot of self-advocacy, because there's just not a lot of awareness around it. And so I think that there are a lot of people that are like suffering and not knowing what they're suffering from. So I'm all about, awareness about this particular condition, because there's a lot, that needs to be learned about it. And there's no real solution to it. And because it takes so much to, find a treatment path that works for you, the sooner that you can get yourself diagnosed, the better. And so that's why more awareness is important. And just finding resources, that's mostly what the organization is about. It actually was originally, I don't know if, fellow reality TV people might remember Gia Alamond from the Bachelor franchise. She was on Bachelor in Paradise, I think the first season. She actually committed suicide and suffered from PMDD, and this foundation actually used to be in her name. It was recently rebranded as the International Association for Premenstrual Disorders. So it's very near and dear to my heart. And if you even just want to check it out and learn a little bit about this particular condition, it's very important to me personally.
Yeah. I mean,
what is that website again?
It's IAPMD.org.
I mean, I will admit personally, I was not aware of PMDD until I became friends with you. And thank you for being able to, speak up about it and destigmatize it as well. Because, like you said, with it being so linked to mental health, as much as we have come into the know about a lot of things that have come to light, I think, in more of an acceptance of mental health and health being linked, I think something like PMDD is still something that maybe if they don't have someone who's afflicted with the condition in their respective circles, they might not necessarily know about it. So I think it's good for people to be able to check it out, and you can make donations, obviously, to help, support. I think it says out the website, we're creating a world where people with premenstrual disorders can not only survive, but thrive. And I couldn't think of a better cause to donate to.
Yeah, and I try to tweet about it just to be transparent about my personal experience. It is very like ever present in my life. Like I have to schedule my life around, certain high symptom times of the month. And so I've had people actually reach out to me. I appreciate anyone who like doesn't stop following me when they're like, oh, she's not talking about Big Brother, like mental health. Like I think this stuff is really important. Yeah. And it took a long time for me to feel comfortable talking about what I personally struggle with. And I've had, friends reach out to me being like, I didn't even know about what this was until a couple years ago when I heard you start talking about it. And it led to me, tracking my symptoms and realizing
realizing I have it as well. So I think even just reading about it, even if you don't have the money to donate, you might end up helping someone in your life without even realizing it. So
amazing.
Thank you for allowing me to plug that here. It's really great that you guys are, giving a moment to, different organizations and charities here.
The pleasure was all ours. And the pleasure was all ours to have you on. This was truly the opposite of a punishment costume, Jenny, to go on for 2+ hours about basically not Big Brother 22, but some Big Brother based shenanigans. You are always such a fantastic presence to have on. For people who want to check out other appearances you might be making on other podcasts or your general social media life, how do they get at that?
I'm on social media at Jenny Autumn. And I don't know if it has dropped yet, but I recorded the Love Island recap with the great Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally last night. So that should be dropping soon. That was a ton of fun.
Who's your favorite right now?
Oh, okay, it's tough. I was a Johnny and Sally stan, so the Casa Amor has been a tough time for me personally. Yes, please keep me in your thoughts. But coming out of these last three episodes, I'm really just impressed with Caleb, and I feel like Justine and Caleb are like definitely the strongest couple overall at this point. Those two couples are my strongest stands. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that they all make it out of this because I'm a romantic at heart. I love the drama. I love the messes, and I want there to be enough of that happening, but I also want some good feels. And I am enjoying that show so much. It's been a really nice thing to be able to enjoy with the contrast of some of the heaviness of Big Brother. It was a real joy to be able to podcast with those two. I've been friends with them for so long, and I don't think that was the first time I'd ever podcast with both of them.
Really?
So that was like, it went long, and I'm really sorry. Again, like, this has been a long episode. So people, if you ever want to have a long podcast, I'm your girl.
Yeah, I'm excited to listen to it. I'm team Sally myself. Basically, at this point, I'm like team, like, anyone who's not boring, and it's a little limited, especially with 10 new people coming in. That's why Mercedes gives me so much life, but I'm excited to hear all your thoughts about Casa Amor, considering that was sort of like, I know they talked about it a bit on the Wednesday podcast, but this truly feels like we got to see the brunt of everything that's happening. And I totally agree. I think if you're looking for, like, if Big Brother hasn't really been scratching your itch of like, what a stupid, sloppy show that airs many, many nights a week, Love Island is there. Totally.
They got you covered. And it's so much better than last season. So if you watched a little bit of last season like I did and wasn't like super tied in, this has been so much better. So do check out Kirsten and Scally's podcast. It's really great. It's been a ton of fun listening to them. And I was glad that they had me on last night. So it's been a fun weekend for me podcasting. Thank you guys so much for letting me do this. Like literally anytime we can talk about bidets, we can talk about punishment costumes, what you had for lunch. Like, I'll talk to you two any day.
I had a cheesesteak.
You did.
Cheesesteak.
I had a cheesesteak. All right, Liana, what do you have going on? Drag Race Canada is finally done. You finally reached the end of the road.
We survived. We survived all of the drag race. Although I will say Canada was probably my favorite season this year. So that was just a blast. But we're done with that now. I'm, doing the morning updates with Taryn on Saturdays. But you know what? No rest for the bidet fans because
are you implying they're wicked?
Yeah, I was like,
I don't know.
I thought we were going to Wicked. No,
well, yeah,
that's for the bidet fans.
Trying to make a terrible callback. It's fine, Ducky, whatever, Ducky, man. I don't even know what that was going to mean, Jenny, but whatever. The Masked Singer is coming back. Look, if you like costumes, if you like the things we talked about today, The Masked Singer is the place for you because there are some very interesting, I guess, choices for we have broccoli, we have mushroom, we have popcorn, just to talk about the food. We have just lips. We've got the whatchamacallit, the squiggly monster, the snow owls, which are competing in two. Anyway, whatever. So Puya and I are going to do a preview podcast at some point to set up the season that will be coming into your earbuds soon. And you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP.
You can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. You can check out the exit interview I did with Bailey. Very enlightening. She talked a bit about her experiences in the house, especially this past week, and gave an always fun word association as well. So check that out at, again, parade.com. And down the hatch, we are going to continue through what some consider the dirges of Lost by finishing out season 3, episode 6. Might have something fun in store for season 3, episode 7. We'll get into that in a little bit. But that's going to do it for the B&B. If you have ideas for games, if anything, this podcast shows how we are going off the beaten path and then some to talk about Big Brother adjacent content. There is no excuse if you have a game popping up in your head to not write us. RHAPBNB@gmail.com. Next week, we are going to start the jury session with a fantastic guest making his return to the B&B, Peridium, prolific Big Brother and Survivor content creator on YouTube, is going to be coming back to break down whatever week 6 is going to provide with us as Big Brother 22 moves into its second half. Thank you all so much for listening. Again, I know it was a long podcast. I know it wasn't exactly Big Brother 22 centric, but we had a good time, and I hope you all did as well. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes, and Wolfram America for his awesome theme song. We'll be back next week with Peridium to talk about week 6 of Big Brother 22. Until then, we'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Leona got to play in some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB. Mike and Leona got to play in some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.